Breaking news today on Seculo as Congress sets the date for Mayorkas impeachment markup.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, so now we know the next step in the impeachment process of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Of course, we have gone through these, and we've talked about a lot on the broadcast, the immigration numbers that are just illegal immigration numbers that are out of control. We've seen it as a top issue. Interesting. In New Hampshire, you see all these states, you know, of course, you think more northern border be, you know, more concerning to them. Of course, there's issues there too. But the southern border, that's pretty far from New Hampshire. And yet, Republican voters, it was the number one issue. It was actually beating out inflation. I saw that and I said, well, Donald Trump won this type because he made it such an issue of his first campaign of kind of, you know, putting in the wall, putting more agents down there, giving them more of an ability to get people, the Remain in Mexico policies, Operation Talon, all of those policies that the new Homeland Security under the Biden administration and Mayorkas canceled on day one. Remember, we've got a FOIA on that, actually, at the ACLJ, Freedom of Information Act request, about why did they so quickly reverse course on Trump policies that were legal? You know, there were no legal problems with them, that were policies that were working. So they were helping America keep illegal immigration down. And the reason why is we believe it's just because they were Trump policies. And it has nothing to do with the fact that they were effective policies, but because they were Trump ideas and his administration ideas, they couldn't put those out. But you are seeing now not just Republicans and not just a wing of the Republican Party. You're starting to see Republicans across the board and many Democrats, elected Democrats in the House, the Senate, governors, and mayors say this. I mean, Fetterman, who is far left as kind of as he runs, still is saying, you know, what is the deal that we can't have a secure, what's wrong with saying we need a secure southern border? I'm not sure he's going to vote to impeach, but the issue here really is a dereliction of duty. And we have this ability of impeachment, which is pretty cool, Logan, is that even if the president of the United States doesn't want to take the move, and of course he could fire Mayorkas at any time, we, through our elected representatives, can remove bad executive branch actors.
Yeah, and I think that's something that our audience needs to know and understand how that process worked. We'll break that down even more coming up. I did want to quickly tell you, we're going to talk about it later in the show, and we're going to have a big ACLJ win that you're going to be excited about coming up towards the end of this first half hour, so make sure you stay tuned for that. But also, yesterday we launched our sort of multimedia presentation on the true history of the Jewish homeland of Israel. We know that's been a conversation you've probably had at home. You've probably had it with your coworkers. You probably had it with, you know, if you have parishioners at a church, who knows what it would be. You had this conversation. Well, we have launched a really easy to understand, but incredibly deep look into the creation of the state of Israel, everything that happened leading up to it, biblical times all the way to present day. And you need to look at really the true story and get yourself armed with the facts, because a lot of anti-Semitic narratives are being spread around the globe right now, and you can be part of stopping it, and you really need to be. The truth must be told. So right now, we're going to ask you, just go to aclj.org/defendisrael and arm yourself with these facts and share that link on your social media platforms that you use. Text it to your friends, send it to your pastor, put it in your church's Facebook group. People need to know about this. And again, we've been meeting with world leaders here at the ACLJ, and we have to defend Israel. And right now, Israel is losing that PR war to Hamas, and we need to be a part of making sure that that does not happen.
We've had our European team in London, the UK, meeting with their top leaders. They're now in Spain. And this is something, again, as Logan said, we are losing the support of Israel right now. It's kind of like even after like winning Roe versus Wade and then you start losing on the abortion issue, this Israel issue, don't take it for granted that Americans just support Israel anymore or that even Christians support Israel anymore. So go and share aclj.org/defendisrael. And let me ask you this. We want your calls. Is immigration the number one issue to you? 1-800-684-3110. Or is it the economy? We'll be right back. Tesecchio. We want to take your calls on this at 1-800-684-3110. We know now that next Tuesday they will begin the markup in the Homeland Security Committee hearing of the impeachment articles of Alejandro Mayorkas, the Secretary of Homeland Security, for dereliction of duty. That's number one. And that alone is enough to be impeached. And the courts have been clear about that going through again the impeachment clauses in our U.S. Constitution. And as we were pointing out before, that again, it's an interesting way our Constitution was set up, that even when the President of the United States is unwilling to remove an ineffective member of their cabinet, Congress, our closest representatives, can. Now they drop articles of impeachment and then they vote on it. Remember, it's got to go out of committee, so it has to pass the Homeland Security Committee, which, again, if they get all Republican votes, just takes a majority vote. And to impeach only takes a majority vote. Then there'll be impeachment managers. Remember, they, we have a lot of experience with this as attorneys. They are members of Congress. When you're the impeacher, the members of the House actually have to argue the case at the Senate. They can bring with them experts from inside and outside, but those inside and outside experts do not get to present in front of the U.S. Senate. The person being impeached can bring in both government attorneys, or like if you brought in your White House counsel, so if there were attorneys from Homeland Security, and also private, like we were with President Trump. And so you can have that mix and present. So that if they move forward, I mean, that's what happened next. And you have then the majority vote, which I think they would get in the House, and then a trial in the Senate. I don't know that the votes are there. It doesn't look like the votes would be there, because remember, the Senate does require 2/3. But Logan, it's just gotten to a point. I mean, it's so out of control with the numbers. Just when you look at, for instance, 10 million since he's been in office, there's been illegal border crossing of 10 million. At least 1.8 million of those have totally disappeared. So just in 3 years, there's 2 million more people in America that they don't know anything about. All they know is that they got away.
This is sort of
that's a lot of people.
Yeah, this is sort of the issue that, I don't want to say it's a uniting issue, because a lot of people have different ways they want to take care of it.
Yeah.
But is an issue that everyone seems to know is the number one issue, is a problem. You have conservatives, Democrats, you've definitely conservatives and moderates. I'd say even the moderate news saying, we have to do something. Something's got to be done. This is getting out of control. And whether that, again, is you want to take an extreme nature or not extreme nature on how you want to present it, everyone knows there's a problem. So I think what's interesting with the border and what's interesting with, you know, Homeland Security in general right now is that everyone knows this is a top priority. All it is right now is finding the people who will actually get something done. I think you even had that when, you know, Newsom and some of them were kind of clearly making their run to potentially replace Biden. Yeah. They were talking about it highly. They were making it big moments. You know, they were talking about the unsecured. They were visiting the border and doing that whole thing. They know the American people are at a breaking point of going, we have to take care of this issue because we are seeing how it's impacting. Again, it's not about not being compassionate to those who are trying to seek America for the right reasons. It's being just at least secure and safe. And you can't let your country just get out of hand.
Yeah, I think, again, when you look at the fact, the numbers, I mean, the 10 million just since he's been there, the fact that we have laws, the Secure Fence Act of 2006, to maintain control over that, and he's ignored it. I mean, so he is violating his oath of, the laws are faithfully executed. The guarantee clause in Article 4 of the Constitution dates the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a Republican form of government, and this is the key, and shall protect each of them against invasion. I mean, Logan, I think that's where people may get across the line and say, well, is this actually invasion or not? And again, I think I want to explain to people like how it moves forward. We'll go to Bob in a second, but it's that term invasion. To me, it's reached that level. When you think about the amount of people who have died because of fentanyl, it's the number one killer of ages 18 to 45 in America. I mean, so invasion kind of makes sense because people are dying. People are losing their lives. Americans are dying.
Yeah, I think that for people who have been impacted by it, it's a big deal. It's something that everyone finds important. Maybe if you're living in certain areas of the country, you're not experiencing it on, you know, the daily basis, or maybe you're one of the few people who haven't had that, you know, happen in your family's life. But if you are, it's hitting very close to home for a lot of people. I think that's why you are seeing some form, and again, I will say a mild form of bipartisanship in this.
I want to go to Bob Burkett. He is our ACLJ Action Chief of Staff. And Bob, I tell people what ACLJ Action is doing, but I also kind of want to walk them through how quick you think this is going to move next week. So it starts Tuesday in the committee. I know sometimes Democrats will try to slow things down. I mean, this is, to me, is a little bit less partisan than like impeaching a president because you don't like their policies. I mean, this is very specific to Mayorkas and the border. But how long do we expect that markup of these articles to take? And what we're hearing is like there'll be three or four articles of impeachment that they're going to present.
Yeah, absolutely, Jordan. So my understanding is there are going to be four articles of impeachment that they finally integrate into the bill, the resolution. And so, as you mentioned, the markup is going to happen next Tuesday. There will be a process through which they amend, I believe, Marjorie Taylor Greene's resolution to add in all the articles with probably some strong supporting evidence gathered over the course of the last year or so that Chairman Greene has been conducting an extensive investigation. And as you know, ACLJ Action has been pretty active on this, encouraging our members to engage their own representatives in both the House and in the Senate to encourage them to move forward swiftly with an impeachment of Mayorkas for high crimes and misdemeanors. So I appreciate all the members who have engaged in that campaign thus far, and it's really generated some positive momentum, as you see, that is taking shape on Tuesday as the next step.
And then it gets brought before the Senate. Do you expect, Bob, I mean, because I know we have the Republican majority in the House, it's slim. Are we going to get the impeachment vote? I mean, I don't feel like many Democrats are going to vote to impeach, even ones that have policy issues that have been upset about this because it hurts Biden, the bigger picture. But do you think the votes are there to actually get him impeached in the House?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's got, I think Republicans seem reasonably confident that they will be able to bring it to a vote on the floor soon after it leaves committee. Now, we could be looking as soon as 2 weeks out from today. It could come to the floor the week of February 5th. But it all depends on, who is in town that day. And I don't know if there are any Republican holdouts. I can't imagine there are a lot, but if there are some people that need kind of swaying at the last minute, that may also impact the timing of bringing it to the floor. But I don't think they'll bring it to the floor unless they know it can pass, and they seem like pretty confident it'll pass.
Yeah, right. And there's all these time, there's time issues with how long you want people to have it. And then, of course, we were talking to people, Bob, when this moves to the Senate, which is also key, while the trial is ongoing, that's all the Senate business that is done.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they can't do it. And, when we did the impeachment trial, I mean, unless that was the Democrats' decision, this time it's Republicans' decision for the most part. I mean, you are locking up the Senate. Now, I think an impeachment of a president takes a little bit more time. I'm not sure of a cabinet member if it would take quite as long. Of course, that all has to come to an agreement to some extent, but it's a major moment in the country, and we haven't seen a lot of these at the secondary level.
Yeah, no, this is the first impeachment of a cabinet member to take place since 1870. Secretary of War was last impeached in 1876. I unfortunately have not done any digging in my 19th century congressional history to figure out how long that impeachment took. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I think it's going to make everyone focus on this issue for as long as that Senate impeachment trial is ongoing, which, as you mentioned, it's a key issue seemingly uniting both sides of the aisle. So something that a lot of people will care about and probably a lot of people will tune in for.
All right, folks, go to acljaction.org. Get your letter to your member of Congress. Bob, thanks for all the great work you guys are doing at ACLJ Action, staying on this issue. And Logan, we know inflation was the number one issue in the economy, and that flipped in the last few weeks. And I think it's because the way people have been, immigration and illegal immigration includes the economy. It includes drugs. It includes people who are losing family members because of those drugs. It includes what your city looks like and your schools.
Yeah, I think sadly you probably get a little.
Like we encompasses
we sort of get a little used to inflation. You start, you start looking at gas prices when people start bragging like it's under $3. You're like, well, look where we were a couple of years ago. You'd be shocked if it was over $2. So we get a little used to that. We don't get used to is chaos and death and what's happening sort of in our nation and what's happening on our streets. When you're walking down streets, you see the crisis that's happening in cities like New York, San Francisco. Phone lines are open right now. We'd love to hear from you right now. 1-800-684-3110. The big question we're asking is, what is the number one issue to you? Is it immigration? Is it inflation? Is it one of our ACLJ key core issues like Israel or life? We'd love to hear from you. I want to get those. We'll be taking those in the fifth segment. So that's for those who don't know. That's in like two segments from now. We're going to take as many of those as possible.
There's
so what?
No wrong answers here. No. So don't feel discouraged about
We're
it.
Surveying.
We really want to know, just kind of, because immigration just became number one nationally, and then also in like a state like New Hampshire, it went from inflation to that immigration. So yeah. Again, 1-800-684-3110 and share aclj.org/defendisrael. We need you to get that out there. Welcome back to Secular. We are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And I did want to kind of focus in on a little bit more on Mayorkas. We didn't get to the sound bites yet of how this impeachment sets up. But I do want to take a call first because a bill in Wyoming has been hanging there. And I think it kind of does set this up before I go to the sound, where Mayorkas kind of set himself up to be impeached the way he's testified under oath to Congress. But Bill, in Wyoming, you're on the air with us. Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, appreciate you answering my calls. First of all, I believe immigration is definitely number one for me. And the fact that inflation and all this, I'm beginning to think it's even affecting where I work. My question, though, is, what if Mayorkas says, well, why should I be impeached? I'm doing my job because I'm following what the president wanted with his executive order. I'm confused, or what do you think?
He could try to make that defense. I'm just following the orders of the president. But if the orders are bad, you can still be impeached. So that's not going to, it's not a defense that works. It's still an uphill battle to see him removed. I think he will be impeached in the sense by the House, but I don't think he will be necessarily convicted as the votes stand right now. I do say we are adding more and more Democrats to our side who believe that immigration has gotten out of control. Remember, first it was supposed to be the vice president. It was supposed to be Harris who was going to be the immigration czar. And then, I mean, she didn't really do anything. Remember, they made like one trip. They never even really went to the actual border. They kind of ignore the issue. And then there were Democrat mayors like the New York City mayor and others who have said, this is ruining our cities. I mean, this is causing chaos. So it's why I think if you had a real hearing, just saying, well, I'm following bad orders, that's not good enough for an executive. If you're a cabinet member and you feel like the orders that you're being given are so bad that they are a danger to the country and they violate actually your constitutional duty, you should resign as a cabinet member. And that's why, again, you have an ability to impeach not just presidents or vice presidents, but the ability to impeach their executives, their cabinet. Because again, so they can't get around that idea of, hey, I'm just doing it because that's what President Biden's telling me to do.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, phone lines are lining up right now at 1-800-684-3110. A lot of people calling in with their top issues. We'll get to as many of those calls as possible coming up.
Yeah, I wanted to play. We had a Congressman Chip Roy. This is back in 2022. He was talking to Mayorkas. He asked a very simple question. Again, remember, 2022, bite 17.
Will you testify under oath right now? Do we have operational control? Yes or no?
Yes, we do.
And we have operational control of the borders.
Yes, we do.
Okay. I mean, that was very clear. Operational control is like much more than just control. I mean, that's like, it's fully under your authority. You got no issues. Maybe some little, you know, problems here and there. But basically, it'd be like in a military setting, this is our territory. We've claimed it. And no one, you know, other than a few here and there moments, no major problems. No drugs are going to get through. People shouldn't be dying of, you know, the number one cause of death for 18 to 45-year-olds shouldn't be fentanyl. So that was pretty early on in the Mayorkas days, 2022, even after they had reversed the Trump administration policies, which I would say were working. I'm not sure they would have said they had operational control yet. They were working towards, in the Trump administration, getting operational control. I don't think they would have necessarily been as so bold as to say, we already have it. They were trying to get there. It was improving significantly. But then, Logan, we moved to 2023 over the summer, and Chip Roy asked basically the same question to Mayorkas. Take a listen, Byte 19.
If you will recall when you testified here in front of me when I asked that question, when you very clearly stated, we do have operational control, when presented with the actual definition of operational control, you didn't hesitate. You said, I do. And you, in fact, then referred back and said, I believe that my predecessors would have said the same thing. You looked straight at the American people, straight at me, straight at every person on this committee, and said, we have operational control. Why?
Congressman, 2 points. One, you did not let me complete my answer. Two.
Hold on, give me your second point. Go ahead.
Thank you. Two, the Secure Fence Act defines operational control as not a single individual crosses the border.
I'm aware, I read it, and I read it to you, and you read it, and in fact, you said, I do. You didn't hesitate. You didn't say, I do. I need to explain what I mean by I do. You said, I do, over and over again.
You know, I think when you realize that, first of all, he answered it. You heard the Byte 17 from 2022. Chip Roy didn't cut him off at all. He's trying to rewrite again, Logan, the definitions of what was I answering at the time. Maybe I didn't know what I was answering. So that just gives you an example. Again, one, do they even care about this issue? I don't think so. And two, are they going to change policies? No. We just have to keep presenting it because there are members of Congress, even on the left, like Fetterman, who have made very strong comments. I do want to go, though, Logan, to a big ACLJ victory. And this one, 2019, this case started.
Yeah, that was 5 years ago.
But because of COVID, got put on hold. You may have remember us talking about it. It was the Virginia Realtors Association. We represent a realtor who was actually making a complaint for one of her clients. So she had a client who felt like a property was not being sold or rented to them because of who they were, you know, based off their race or religion or background. And she was making a complaint, which they would to this Virginia board, the state agency. And by making that complaint, she then gets in trouble. The state agency goes after her because she's got Bible verses, Logan, on her email signature and on her private website.
And by Bible verses, we mean things like John 3:16 or the golden rule, the standards. Not talking about something controversial here. No. Talking about pretty much just an indication of who you're working with is maybe kind of a straight shooter. That's about all we're talking about here. Gets slapped down. 5 years later, though, we have a pretty epic resolution, which is a change of law.
Yes. So this we took this to court. So first we went through their review board. Again, that is the Virginia Real Estate Board. And then in the it was the Circuit Court of the City of Richmond. We have won. They've struck down the provisions of the Commonwealth of Virginia's fair housing law as, again, not clear. And because the way it says is that if you talk about religion at all, it can't be there. And of course, you can't have statements like that. There's no context around it. So even, like Logan said, even if you were to put something that was just a very basic, like, didn't even say Jesus, didn't even say heaven, it was just saying, like, do good.
Well, yeah, do unto others.
And that's it, like the golden rule. That would be violation of the statute as much as one that said, you know, from the Old Testament about enslaving people because they're not. So he said there's no context to this, which, again, violates the laws and the Constitution. So we won this in court. So I want to make clear, at one of these battles, 4 years, ACLJ stood with it to win. And it's not just a win for that client. Now it's a win for all the folks in that state with the Fair Housing Act there applies to, that this section was unconstitutional. That, again, you can't have this attack on your First Amendment. And that's a great indication why you should support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. Because when we take on these cases, not only do we win, we stick by our clients as long as it takes to get these victories. And when we do win, yes, our client wins, but so does everyone else in Virginia in this matter. ACLJ.org. Become an ACLJ champion today at ACLJ.org. Second half hour coming up.
keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Folks, welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. And as we have asked, you know, what is that number one issue to you with the Mayorkas, again, the impeachment beginning now next Tuesday? That was announced by the chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee, Mark Green, the congressman from Tennessee. So we're going to have articles impeachment drawn up. We think there'll be four. Those then will be voted on by the committee. If the committee gets them out, that's just a majority vote. And there's more Republicans and Democrats on it, so it likely will. Timeline on that, we're not exactly sure. Then it goes to the floor of the House, probably by end of February, you're getting a vote there. Again, if Republicans stick together, you don't need Democrats. It's just a majority vote. And then you go to the actual trial in the Senate. So I think it's very likely right now that we're moving towards an impeachment of Mayorkas and a trial in the U.S. Senate, unless President Biden thinks it's going to focus too much attention on his bad immigration policy and he should have Mayorkas removed. Because if he removed Mayorkas and put someone new in place, you wouldn't have to necessarily change any of the policies, but you wouldn't have time to impeach that new person. So I mean, there's some interesting moves you could take. We'll see how wedded he is, President Biden, to Mayorkas, or does he use him as a way to try and take this issue, which we asked Logan, has now become a number one issue to many people across the country.
Let's take a call here just so we can start, you know, kind of getting your point of view. Let's go to Richard in California on line three. Richard, you're on the air.
Outstanding. Thanks for taking my call. This is awesome. You know, Mayorkas is just one of the string holders to the Biden administration. Biden's not going to do anything to him because he's one of his advisors. How about that? Heck, Biden wouldn't know what to do without any of these sideways advisors. But on a local perspective, our governor, our twice attempted impeached Governor Newsom, he needs to take the same position as Governor Greg Abbott and start cracking down on our own border. We have fentanyl coming across this border. We have not only criminals from every country, not only Mexico, and not to mention probably every terrorist organization that's come across these borders. Our next big war, it's going to be right here in our backyard. It's going to make 9/11 look like a picnic.
Yeah, listen, I think we saw again out of the Supreme Court that there are steps states can take inside their borders to protect their citizens from criminal activity. But the Supreme Court is still wedded to the issue that in the Constitution, they feel like their hands are tied in Article 1 because immigration is under the authority of Congress and the executive branch. And that if they don't act, you can't act in their place. I'm not saying I agree with that. But again, there's only so much you can blame on your state officials. Now, you can certainly blame them if they want to become sanctuary cities, if they aren't doing anything, if they are supporting policies that don't work. The tough thing is, every time they want to actually take action, Logan, it's halted, even if it works. It's a weird thing that, like, the Biden administration of Texas, what they're doing is working. What the Trump administration was doing was working. But because they mocked Remain in Mexico, they had to get rid of Remain in Mexico, and then the numbers blew up again.
Yeah, and we're going to take more calls coming up. So if you do have a thought of what your number one issue is, let us know. I will tell you, it's not all been immigration. I could see the phone screen, you know, software here. So don't feel like you have to call in and say that. A lot of people have not said that. And we're going to take those so we hear from you too. 1-800-684-3110. Also, right now, you need to go into our Defend Israel campaign, aclj.org/defendisrael. On that page, you can also become an ACLJ champion, which means you decide to support the work, put your money where your mouth is, support the work on a monthly recurring basis.
Yeah, what this is our multimedia primer on the true history of the Jewish homeland, Israel, because you're seeing so much bad info. And that's why we want you to share it on social media. So we put it together for you, the story of the Jewish state of Israel. So you go to aclj.org/defendisrael and share that link on all of your social media platforms. Doesn't cost you a thing. People need to know this information, the truth about the state of Israel, the Jewish state of Israel. Go to aclj.org/defendisrael. We'll be right back on Seculo. second. We are going to take more of your phone calls, but we do want to, we've been asking people to go to aclj.org/defendisrael. If you're watching the broadcast or listening, what you're about to hear is the video we're asking people and the webpage we're asking people to share, Logan. They go to aclj.org/defendisrael. We're pushing this hard this week. We want you to get this truth out and the title as well.
That's right. All you have to do is go to aclj.org/defendisrael. You'll see this video and a lot of other great content you can download as well. So let's take a watch of this special, The Myth of Palestine.
Free, free,
Palestine!
1, 2, 3, 4!
Occupation no more!
1, 2, 3, 4!
Occupation no more!
Israel is a terrorist
state! Occupation no more!
The myth of Palestine is a dangerous and false narrative being perpetuated by those who seek to harm the Jewish people. This narrative intentionally overlooks the thousands of years of history and the rightful ownership of the land by the Jewish people. It ignores the repeated attempts by Israel to make peace and the ongoing attacks and aggression from terrorist organizations like Hamas. We must not be deceived by this attempt to erase the Jewish people from their homeland. Following is the true history of Israel and the so-called Palestine. We begin with Israel beginning in 1800 BC. Abraham heard the call of God and followed it to the land between the Mediterranean Sea and the Jordan River, the Promised Land. Shortly after, the Egyptians enslaved nearly all of the Israelites, and it wasn't until 500 years later that their descendants were able to return to the Promised Land. From then on, this region had a long history of conquest and power struggles, with Jerusalem at the center. From the time of King David's rule in 1004 BC to the Roman conquest in 63 BC, the city endured numerous shifts in power and the destruction and rebuilding of temples. 70 years later, the Romans drove nearly all Jews out of Israel, forcing them to scatter across the world. It wasn't until circa AD 136 the name Palestine first appeared after the Romans named part of Judea, Syria, Palestina to erase the Jewish presence in the land. Throughout the ensuing centuries, the region of Jerusalem continued to be subject to numerous conquests. In AD 638, Arab Muslims took control. Centuries later, Christian crusaders claimed the city, only to be defeated by Saladin, the Muslim Sultan of Egypt and Syria in AD 1187. The region then fell under the rule of the Ottoman Empire, Turks, in AD 1517, until 400 years later, when during the Great War in 1917, the British Empire conquered the region. The British made a public pledge, the Balfour Declaration, which aimed to establish a national home for the Jewish people in the area still known by the Roman name Palestine. Then in 1922, 4 years after the war ended, the League of Nations created the mandate for Palestine to reconstitute a national home for the Jewish people. The region was redrawn into what is now modern-day Israel, the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, and the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan. Only 22% was left to create the Jewish state. Then, just over a decade later, from 1933 to 1945, the Nazi Party took power in Germany and massacred almost two-thirds of Europe's Jewish population. 6 million Jews. After World War II in 1947, the United Nations adopted the Partition Resolution, a two-state solution to create another Arab state and a Jewish state in the remaining mandate territory reserved for the Jews. In order to have peace with their Arab neighbors, the Jews accepted, but the Arabs rejected it and invaded Israel, which began the Arab-Israeli War of 1948. No state of Palestine was created. The state of Israel was. Over the following decades, the Middle East was marked by ongoing conflicts between Israel and its Arab neighbors. In 1964, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, also known as the PLO, was founded, whose ultimate goal was the destruction of Israel. In 1967, the Six-Day War was waged by surrounding Arab countries. That's when the West Bank and the Gaza Strip became a part of Israel. Then the 1973 attack on Yom Kippur began. In 1987, the terrorist organization Hamas was founded by members of the Muslim Brotherhood. That same year, Hamas began waging jihad, holy war, during the First Intifada against Israel in order to wipe out all Jews. Between 1993 and 1995, Israel and the PLO made agreements for a peaceful resolution to the Arab-Israeli conflict. These agreements granted self-governance to the Arab populations of the Gaza Strip and West Bank in exchange for peace with Israel. Instead of peace, militants from the Gaza Strip and the West Bank continued their attacks against Israel. From 2000 to 2005, the Palestinians began a wave of terrorist attacks called the Second Intifada. Remember what this means: the eradication of Jews. So in 2005, yet another attempt to achieve peace was made, and Israel left Gaza, even though Gaza is a rightful part of Israel. In 2012, the UN General Assembly agreed to change the PLO's membership status at the UN from an observer organization to that of a non-member state with observer status. Observers generally have a limited ability to participate in the IGO, lacking the ability to vote or propose resolutions. Then, on October 7, 2023, the world was shaken by the horrific actions of Hamas as they launched a vicious attack on Israel. The death toll rose to over 1,300 innocent lives, including men, women, children, the elderly, and even infants. The atrocities committed by the attackers were unspeakable. Women were raped, dead bodies were desecrated, and over 240 people were taken hostage. What history clearly illustrates is that Israel did not steal any land from the Palestinians. In fact, there has never been a state of Palestine. The Romans gave the name to the area that includes modern-day Israel, the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, and the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan. This land was stolen from the Jewish people, just as it had been for millennia before. Learn more at aclj.org/defendisrael.
Folks, again, if you were just writing and you were just hearing that, it's a full video as well. We want you to share it with your friends and family on all of your social media accounts. It doesn't cost you a thing. Yeah. You go to aclj.org/defendisrael, and there's a lot of great tools there, but you're specifically sharing the myth of Palestine. We know, Logan, we are losing this issue right now, not just to the left and to college kids, but inside our churches.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I was saying. Not only just post on your social media pages, you know, go to your Facebook groups, text your pastor, text people in your church, your prayer threads, whatever you have, text this link out to as many people as possible. It's optimized on your phone, looks great. It's easy for them to see it. So that is aclj.org/defendisrael. We're running short on time. We're gonna take as many calls quickly as we can. So keep it short. Jim, Maryland, what's your number one issue on line four? Jim, you're on the air.
Number one issue is vote fraud. If we don't take care of that before 2024, they will steal the election and everything else becomes irrelevant.
Right, election integrity is Jim's. Jim's
saying it's a top issue for people. It's been a top issue for us. There's been a lot of changes.
Yep, absolutely.
And you saw that. You should have seen that 2 years ago in the congressional races in states across the country. There were a lot of changes to electoral integrity.
I will tell you, a lot of the calls are that. But we're going to keep going. We'll get some diversity here of people's thought. Julie's calling from Oregon, line five. Julie, you're up. Quickly.
Hi, yes. Government corruption, what I would consider deep state players. I want that all cleaned out.
I mean, listen, that really covers so many of these issues, right? If these bad actors... And we know, if Donald Trump is back, the swamp, what they do is come in and they come in to stop your policies. So where you've been elected by the people and you say, we want to do this policy, they try to make it impossible for you to enact those policies. And we talked about with our colleagues, like Mike Pompeo is going to be joining us in the next segment of the broadcast. This idea is,